While an equal rights amendment to the U.S. Constitution is in limbo, state lawmakers are looking to amend New York's Constitution with an even more inclusive set of protections, which are being pushed by State Senator Liz Krueger, a Manhattan Democrat, who joins us now to talk about her proposed equality amendment. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Well, what would be the, I guess, practical effect of adding language to the state constitution prohibiting discrimination based on a person's, quote, color, ethnicity, national origin, disability, or sex, including pregnancy and pregnancy outcomes, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression?
So it's an attempt to strengthen the protections that all New Yorkers would have if they found themselves in a situation of being discriminated against based on any of the things you just listed, including storylines, which are not uncommon, where we think we've passed a statute saying you can't discriminate against someone because of X, Y, Z, but somebody does it anyway, and you end up in a courtroom. And when you get to a courtroom, it is very, very common that the courts don't go, oh, your statute says this or doesn't say that. A court says, do you have a constitutional protection? And the answer is, right now, for many, many things, no, we don't in New York State, because our Constitution is much older than the reality that most of us live in. So this is an attempt to modernize the New York State Constitution. So if and when, and those whens do happen, not infrequently, there are debates and challenges to fundamental rights and protections, including the right to privacy, the right to access to health care for reproductive health and other forms of health, the right to be an LGBTQ individual or family, so that when these debates come up and end up in a courtroom, there won't be any dispute through the legal system of whether or not you really did have the protections that we thought you had. So it gets complex, and constitutional law is quite complex. I don't try to go near the constitutional debate because those folks are quite serious. That I have worked with many constitutional attorneys developing this drafted amendment and have learned an enormous amount from them about how critical it would be for us to expand our protections in our Constitution. And now, thanks to the horrendous actions of the U.S. Supreme Court, there are other states throughout the country looking to us and saying, let's see if New York can get it right in their Constitution, because maybe we need to get it right in ours.
So I imagine you would hope that by enacting this anti-discriminatory language, you would prevent people from discriminating at all. But it seems like the more likelihood of this language, if enacted, is that it would provide people, I guess, a recourse after the fact of some sort of discrimination.
Yes. I mean, it would be wonderful if we all woke up every morning, opened up our Constitution, made sure we'd memorized everything in it, and said, let's all leave our lives following every word. But we know we don't live in that world. It's not realistic. So it is pretty important that we have the language there in our Constitution as backup when things go wrong.
The list of different, I guess, identity that are protected by this language does not include, at least in this amendment, religion. Was there a reason why discrimination based on a person's religion wasn't included for this?
It actually is included in several other places just next door in the Constitution already. Mm-hmm. So we didn't feel that it was necessary to repeat religious protections and freedoms in this new section because they're covered in existing language in the Constitution. There's nothing in this language that would decrease your rights to religious freedom as you already have them in our Constitution.
And this is a pretty inclusive list that you've identified here. Were there any other protected classes or potentially protected classes or identities that were under consideration for inclusion in the amendment but didn't make it for one reason or another?
Well, I don't, again, we're still in negotiations, but I think a big one that we're still trying to see whether we could put in would be age, so that you could not be discriminated against based on age.
Is that a controversial one?
Everything is controversial in one way or the other, because you get into these conversations about, well, if a five-year-old applies for Social Security and you say no to them, are you discriminated based on age? And the answer is no, because you can absolutely have explicit eligibility within statutes that make it clear that someone above a certain age or below a certain age may not qualify for a specific benefit or a specific job. You will note something very important to many, many people is it includes disability as a protected right in the Constitution. So inevitably, I get someone who says, well, does that mean if someone in a wheelchair applies to be a firefighter, we have to let them be a firefighter, even though we know they can't run into burning buildings because they're in a wheelchair? And the punchline is, no, you actually wouldn't meet the job requirements of a firefighter because you wouldn't be able to run into burning buildings. So having a protection from discrimination is not the same thing as a guarantee of eligibility for any specific benefit, service, or job.
Well, are you concerned, though, about the likelihood of opening up municipalities, nonprofits, all sorts of institutions to not just frivolous lawsuits, like kind of what you identified, but significant lawsuits, lawsuits that really are exposing certain to discrimination in whether it's state policies or other policies? Like, I think of the fact that the state for years only had binary options for gender on driver's licenses. And there's probably still other examples of that that are in the state system. So maybe the state's going to face lawsuits for that kind of stuff. So is there the likelihood that there's going to be a lot of new lawsuits? And if so, is that just the price we pay for trying to get a society that, I guess, is less discriminatory?
Well, I think I would point out that we do live in a litigious society now, so there are plenty of lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
But no, most of the attorneys I've spoken to don't believe this would open a floodgate of new cases, because New York State, interestingly, has many, many statutes that protect us from different forms of discrimination that people could sue on now and sometimes do sue on. The issue is, do we have the backup in our Constitution to give the court an ability to come up with a reasonable answer? So I actually think this will give the courts an additional tool to use to come up with a reasonable answer when, in fact, there are lawsuits going on now based on examples such as you just gave.
Well, in the final days of the legislative session, how do you imagine the likely push for a state constitutional amendment guaranteeing a right to an abortion or some language like that will impact the political chances of your bill passing this session? Do you imagine the other amendment will, I guess, soak up all the political oxygen at the Capitol?
What's the other amendment?
I have to imagine there's going to be something before you guys dealing with codifying or writing into the Constitution a right to an abortion.
Well, I believe this is the constitutional amendment people are referencing when they talk about
this will be
an abortion.
Because of the language regarding sex and pregnancy outcomes?
Pregnancy and pregnancy outcome, yes.
So by making this so comprehensive then, does that make this less likely to be enacted than something that would be simply along the lines of protecting abortion?
I actually don't think so, because one, it takes a long time to complete a constitutional amendment.
Yes, it does.
You need to move it through two houses for two different sessions. You then need to bring it to the people for a vote. To be honest, the federal government has taken almost 50 years to not complete the assignment of just adding the word women to the U.S. Constitution. I don't want to be sitting around 50 years later saying, gee, why couldn't we just modernize the New York State Constitution in one fell swoop to to address so many different people's concerns. So I think the fact that it is a broader and more universal approach to modernizing the rights under our laws actually makes it a easier constitutional amendment to move. Even though it takes a little more time to explain, we just believe in the right to privacy. We believe that you should be able to make decisions for your own health care. We think you shouldn't be discriminated against based on a broad category of unique characteristics of yourself, and that's what New York stands for, and that's what our Constitution should reflect.
Well, speaking of the state constitution, I can't let you go without asking, is there any indication that the legislature might move a constitutional amendment that would change our government watchdog language in the near future? I know that's something you've been really on top of.
I do carry a constitutional amendment to replace J. Cope with a different model that did not seem to have enough momentum to be moving in the two houses, so that when there was an opportunity during the budget to negotiate three-way between the Senate, Assembly, and Governor for a replacement of J. Cope, I worked with a model that is not a constitutional set of changes,
right,
but took many of the specific changes that I was recommending in my constitutional amendment and my colleague Alexandra Biaggi had put into a statutory bill that she was trying to move. So we attempted to take sort of as much as we could from those proposals and build it into a changed model that did get passed through the budget this year.
So then not really pushing the constitutional amendment anymore?
Not this week.
Well, we've been speaking with State Senator Liz Krueger. She's a Manhattan Democrat. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Take care, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.